Ah, yes. Always reminds me of Dirty Dancing. What a movie that was. That is The Time of My Life. Bill Medley and Jennifer Warren there from back in the late 1980s, I think. And The Time of My Life, Now, in case you're wondering, what's she doing playing music this early in the programme? We're having a few technical problems. So if you're waiting for the bingo numbers, we don't have them just now because there's a few, as I said, a few technical problems going on behind the scenes, as you probably gathered. But we're working on it. And the good news is it's business as usual on the show. And to that end, I'm delighted to welcome Colm O'Loughlin for Ask the Dentist. And you're very welcome, Colm.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Now, you're going to talk to us a little bit, first of all, before we come to questions, and we do have questions for you, about the benefits of starting treatments during the summer, especially if your child needs orthodontal treatment. The summer's a good time to start that. Why exactly?
Well, it's just very practically, it's a time when there's often a bit less pressure on the system, but maybe a bit more flexibility. You're not worried they're starting school, taking them out of class. And a lot of kids, when they do start their orthodontic treatment, they can feel very self-conscious about it. Their speech might change, albeit temporarily, but even so, it's a tender age to start these things and the people are quite sensitive. So it gives them an opportunity to adapt and adjust all of their different speech, eating, all those things without the scrutiny of a classroom of 30 kids and teachers and so on. So, you know, it gets rid of a lot of that social anxiety that goes around with orthodontic treatment. I realise that a lot of kids today are very open-minded about braces compared to the past, but still the practicalities of it can be an impediment for some kids. So I think if it's on the agenda that you're thinking about doing it, it's a good time of year to look into it. You still have 2 months to get the ship on up and at sail, you know, you'd be amazed how a few weeks of adjustment will help when they go back to school.
Yeah, absolutely, if they're well used to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's funny, isn't it, you mentioned there about the aesthetics of it. I remember way long ago, you know, anyone who had braces were very self-conscious about them. But I happen to know now, as the mother of a teenager, it's kind of cool to have braces.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from the same era as yourself, Deirdre, there. So absolutely, it was quite tricky when I was growing up if you had braces. And I thought with Invisalign and things like that that we do in British Place that there would be a flood of kids coming in for it. But, you know, it's not visible enough for a lot of them. You know, it's not advertising the fact that they're straightening their teeth. We do have an orthodontist in the practice now as well who also does train tracks, but absolutely a lot of kids are actively looking for something that to display the wares, but everyone's different and I guess things go in waves, but definitely the fixed braces are not in any way a taboo, nor should they be. Actually, I mean, for God's sake, we're doing something to improve the situation for everybody, and it's a very positive thing to be doing. But yeah, it's funny how society changes, and I suppose it's a sign of maturity that we view self-improvement a little bit more positively than maybe in the past.
And you mentioned there already you have a new in-house orthodontist, and I presume that's just part of your expanding practice.
Correct, yes, yeah. We're just delighted to be able to add that to the service, especially for teenagers, because we've treated lots of adults over the years with Invisalign, and they'd come in and they'd say, you know, just to let you know, our son or our daughter, they're not going to be doing Invisalign because we don't trust them to wear the aligners because we weren't happy. So it's nice to be able to sort of offer a full service, because I don't do fixed braces.
Okay, and your new
orthodontist, Dr. Alex, does.
Alex.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Is Alex a...
Alex is a woman. Yes, Alexandra.
You never know, it's one of those
Alexandra,
names.
Yeah. I should make it clear. Alexandra, excuse me, but Alex is how we know her.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, so she's a very, very welcome addition now and started to get embedded into the practice.
And just you mentioned Invisalign there. Of course, the other thing, we're seeing so many young people getting braces, but we're seeing a lot of adults who want to correct, you know, problems with their teeth as well, and it's never too late.
No, it's not, absolutely. There's no actual age limit on it. It's true to say there are some limitations to what you can do in an adult compared to a teenager. Teenagers really have got it's the best age to consider it, because when you're growing, the jaws themselves will actually change shape to positively accommodate teeth. So we rarely extract teeth now in teenagers anymore, where it was very routine. When I was growing up, a trip to the orthodontist invariably meant, oh dear, you know, there's going to be teeth taken out. Something has to be very, very complex for that to be the case nowadays. But for adults, we can still do great things and improve things. So yeah, definitely don't feel that age is any obstacle to doing that if that's on your mind.
And the word Invisalign sort of gives a clue for what it's about. It's invisible.
Yeah, they're clear plastic braces. Though again, some adults don't trust themselves to wear Invisalign either, and so, you know, adults can do Invisalign or fixed braces. I suppose I'm delighted that we're able to now sort of talk about it that way and give people both options. But what we could not say in the past was that you could get equivalent results both ways. Nowadays, Invisalign is actually capable of delivering pretty much the same results in probably 90% of scenarios. There are still a small number of scenarios where your fixed braces are still going to be better, but they're just a tool. Everybody can be treated in 90% of cases with either or. So it becomes then an issue of how discreet you want it to be and how, what route you want to go. So there's certainly no limits to the way you can mix it up to suit your sort of lifestyle goals, we'll say.
Very good. Well, listen, now that we've mentioned that, we might come on to some questions, if that's okay with
you. Absolutely, yeah.
And we'll start with this one. This is a very general one. A listener simply wants to know, do most people lose their teeth with age? Also, are some people more prone to bad teeth and gums?
So there's two questions there, and the answers are no and yes in that order. So no, aging does not predispose anyone to losing their teeth. But there are various dental diseases that affect us as humans over the course of our lives. So I suppose as we live longer, those who have experienced those diseases are likely to see more tooth loss over time. But no, there's absolutely no reason. And I have plenty of patients, and as do all dentists, who are in their 80s and still have all or nearly all of their own teeth. Genetics is a big part, in the same way that some people get a heart attack in their 40s, and others smoke and drink and eat whatever they like and live to be a fine old age without ever having a heart attack. You know, those people that got heart attacks in their 40s were unlucky. They were genetically predisposed to blocked arteries. And it's the same with teeth. Some people are genetically predisposed to gum disease. In the past, people used to call it pyrrhea. And this is probably the main reason for tooth loss as people get older. But if you're not genetically predisposed, and perhaps as much as half the population isn't, then there's every reason why you might keep your teeth for the rest of your life. But it's certainly the case that we can all keep our teeth for most of our lives if we take good care. And just like the doctors will advise people, you know, is there a family history of high blood pressure? Is there a family history of diabetes, etc.? And then they'll give advice related to that to say, okay, well, you know, make sure you take exercise, make sure you don't smoke, and so on and so forth. Make sure you watch your diet. Well, it would be the same with teeth. You know, if we know that there is a history of gum disease and things like that in your family, the chances are you need to take more care with your teeth, see a dental hygienist more often for professional cleanings and to rid your teeth of bacteria and so on and so forth. So you know, it's not as simple as to say aging causes it. It's definitely a factor, but that's because time gives the diseases more opportunities to cause harm.
Very good. I think we can take a break now at this point, Colm, and a reminder to listeners, if you would like to ask Colm any questions, it might be about teeth or gums or Invisalign or braces or whatever it is, once it's related to oral health, be it your own or that of your family, a family member. You know what to do. The usual numbers apply, 083 300 3300, and we're back in a moment.
Ask the Dentist on Talk About. Brought to you in association with Bridge Place Dental Practice Tralee. Your smile, our expertise.
Now, Colm, let's come to some more questions for you. A listener says, I have a bridge for many years now, but it is bad underneath it. My dentist tried filling it and says it would be a major problem if that doesn't work. Any suggestions? What's a bridge, first of all?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really technical kind of thing that's come up here, and it's probably beyond the scope of a lot of the listeners to deal with it. So I suppose if somebody is missing a tooth, then you can sort of put in a replacement tooth by attaching it to the teeth either side of the gap. So hence the term bridge. If you imagine a bridge over a river, will be anchored on both banks, on the left and right bank of the river, and will span the river in that way. So this is a dental bridge. The idea has been around for decades and decades, and they can be very successful, but there's different kinds. And one kind, which is involves crowning or drilling out the neighbouring teeth to sit this thing over them, can be really successful until something goes wrong. And when that happens, then, be it decay or something underneath it, then unfortunately that bridge loses its footing, so it's not on a strong foundation on one side or the other, and it can come out or it can break one of the teeth it's attached to. And then management of that is complex. It may be possible to do another one, it may not. It may be dental implants that are required. Certainly today we tend not to do as many of these types of bridges that involve drilling teeth as was done in the past, because technology has moved forward. And we can now do things like dental implants. And a lot of people screw up their faces and look a bit squeamish when we mention dental implants, because it sounds like it's going to be really horrible, but it's often, more often than not, it isn't. But the most important thing, and really this applies to all dentistry now, is that it's not tampering with your natural teeth. It's just trying to put back in what's missing. And that really is a kind of a guiding philosophy that should go through everything we do nowadays. And patients are starting to kind of see that really the best dentistry is dentistry that doesn't involve any manipulation of your natural teeth. So, but anyway, this person has a bridge. There is a problem with it. Let the dentist repair it. It's always going to be the best first case scenario. But, you know, if it fails, it may require some specialist attention, a prosthodontist, a dentist who deals with this type of work.
A texter says, is there anything somebody with rheumatoid arthritis should be doing in relation to their oral health?
Yeah, that's a brilliant question. And that sort of ties into the earlier one about whether the aging process is the cause of tooth loss or not. So rheumatoid arthritis, for those who don't know, is a type of arthritis that's caused by your immune system. It's what's called an autoimmune disease. That's where your own immune system misfires and causes damage to your joints. And you can classically recognize it by seeing swollen knuckles in people's fingers. This rarely occurs in isolation. There's often more than one autoimmune disease, because the immune system is throughout the body. So if it's going a little bit awry in one area, it may be going awry in other areas. And we regularly see increased levels of gum disease, gum shrinkage in people who have rheumatoid arthritis or other autoimmune diseases. So you definitely should be seeing your dentist for regular intensive monitoring of your gum health, and probably a hygienist for regular, really thorough cleaning of your teeth. Because when it comes to gum disease, if you have got this autoimmune situation, it's the bacteria that are on your teeth that are triggering the immune system to go into this cycle of destruction. So if you can limit and control the amount of these bacteria that live on your teeth, you then limit and reduce the degree of the immune system's response, which keeps teeth in your head longer.
Now, this next listener says, will you ask Cullum if composite bonding would suit my 20-year-old son who has a gap in his front teeth, or would braces be better?
It's a good question, but it's a very visual one. So very difficult to answer that without seeing somebody, and very difficult, I'm sure, for the listeners to imagine what on earth the question means. So a gap between your front teeth, a lot of people are born with it. They naturally have this space between their front teeth. And a lot of people nowadays don't like it and they want to get rid of it. Depending on the size of the gap, you can do it with composite bonding or not. So when you add composite, which is white filling material, you're trying to make the teeth look wider. And when you make a tooth look wider, it may upset the proportions, you know, it may disrupt the way it sits. So technically speaking, you can close probably any space with adding this white filling material. It's an elegant solution. It's quick. It's cost effective. It's non-invasive. It's not damaging the teeth. but is it going to make the teeth look very wide and peculiarly proportioned? Your dentist or a dentist who does it, we do a lot of that in Bridge Place, can mock it up for you so you can get a preview of it before you commit to it. But if the space is very wide, you're probably better off to consider braces to push the teeth together and close the space that way.
And he's 20, so he's not too old to get braces.
No, is it? No one's too old. Remember what I said?
Exactly. Yeah,
and he's
yeah.
definitely not too old, but definitely he's a very, very suitable age for it.
Okay. Now, a few people are asking about Invisalign, including one listener who has a teenager and would love to get Invisalign for the teenager. I don't know whether it's a son or a daughter, but they're all asking roughly how much does it cost, but it's a hard one to
Yeah, it's going to fall in a range, but the average is going to be around €4,000.
Okay.
That's going to be the average. Most people will fall in and around that cost area. And then there's tax relief as well through the revenue, which is pretty attractive. Actually, it's 20%.
Okay, that's not too bad. Texter says, I've only 3 top teeth left. Can I get them pulled and get a top set done in one day? And this person has a fear of dentists.
Okay, right. Yeah, I mean, you can is the short answer, but the better question is, should you? I mean, 3 teeth sometimes looks like maybe it's not worth it. Maybe we should call it a day and go to a full plate. But, you know, your own teeth do an awful lot of good things for you beyond just looking the part. You know, teeth give us feedback on the texture of food, the temperature of food, and the pressure that we're applying when we're chewing things. These are all integral to our enjoyment and satisfaction from food. And you take that away, you'd be surprised how much of the actual experience of eating comes from those factors, as well as just the flavour. And a full top plate, also on the subject of flavour, will reduce your sense of taste because it's going to cover the roof of your mouth and where an awful lot of your taste buds are located. Now, you look at any older person with a full set of dentures and watch how much they shake the salt and pepper when dinner comes out. You know, they're usually shaking it way longer than anyone else is because they're trying to get some flavour from their food. So I would say if the teeth are in any way viable, hang on to them. Talk to a dentist about getting a denture made that fits around them. But look, if they are in trouble and maybe they can't be saved, then yes, it is possible to make a full plate and fit it the same day.
We'll finish on this one. This person has a chrome denture for about 10 or 15 years and says, I think I might need to get a new one because it's starting to come away from the teeth that's holding it on. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
They're wondering how much does a chrome actually cost nowadays?
Yeah, it's a good question. So again, what is a chrome denture? This is a denture made out of a metal called cobalt chrome. It's an alloy of, most people have heard of chrome. It's a silvery metal, but it's a metal alloy, and it's been used in dentistry again for donkey's years. These dentures are tidier and lighter and quite strong than compared to plastic ones, and they are more expensive. The cost range on those dentures, it's going to vary by practice and by complexity, but it can be from anywhere from sort of €1,200 to €1,700. It can be that kind of cost range. But like everything, there's a range because their situations aren't all the same.
I will squeeze one more in, okay. If you don't, okay. If you don't mind, Colm. This listener, he's 50. He says he gets occasional gum bleeds after he brushes his teeth. It only happens maybe once every 3 weeks or so, but he's worried that this is a sign he's going to lose his teeth.
It's not necessarily a sign you're going to lose your teeth. The bleeding gums can occur if you have the mildest form of gum disease, which is 100% reversible. It can also happen if you've got advanced gum disease, which is difficult to control. The fact that they're bleeding, it tells you one thing, however, which is that there is an active gum disease process going on. What stage it's at, you'll need a professional to assess that. But he's right to be concerned and not to ignore it, because, you know, left unchecked, this type of situation will result in problems. And this is going back to that first question, you know, is losing teeth an age-related process? It's not. But if you have a disease process and you let it run over the entirety of your lifespan, then it certainly will result in problems by the time you're older. So just get this checked. Just, you know, the same as any other type of checkup, go in and get it checked. There is a solution. It can be controlled. It's not prohibitively expensive or overly involved to do it if you catch it early. It's really not.
very good. Cullum, as always, you can be contacted at Bridge Place Dental here in Tralee if anybody wants to call up. And just a reminder again that there's a new orthodontist, Dr. Alex, who has joined the practice recently. If you have any queries, I presume your receptionist will be happy
to. They're very knowledgeable. Yep, thank
you. Absolutely. Cullum, thanks a million. We'll see you again next month, all going well. We'll take a break and we'll be talking beauty and skincare with Mary O'Donnell after these.
Share it with Deirdre. Talk about on Radio.